Today, I have a friend of mine, Jason Sanchez, who's going to be in town for about a week, and he is the director at the Bishinava House of Blessing, which is an orphanage and ministry to the community down there. And so many of you know him. We've done some mission trips down there for a few different years. And so he's going to be sharing today about the ministry and give an update. So why don't you welcome Jason.
Guess I should have sat closer. Sorry. Good morning. Good to see you all. I'm very, very thankful to be here. I'm a little surprised to be here, just sort of in light of just, you know, whatever you call this, the craziness that has taken place. And just as I was flying up here, I was sort of sitting on the plane. I was just sort of reminded, man, God, thank you that you're our living hope. Thank you that you're here. Thank you that you, you know, the worship team was singing the song, Your Grace Is Enough. Thank you that Your Grace, you know, I was just reminded of the goodness of the Lord. And I think there are times when we go through what we go through, and they are great reminders of who our God is. Amen. I would love if you would turn to Numbers chapter 9 with me this morning. For those of you who I see a lot of familiar faces, for those of you who I don't maybe know or don't know us, we moved down to this town called Bishinava. It's about 5 hours south of El Paso. We moved down 8.5 years ago. It's kind of hard to believe that. And to start an orphanage. And it's a town of about 2,500 people in the Sierra Madres, and just this beautiful town. So we've been down there, my wife and daughter and I serving. We moved from Puyallup, where we were pastoring. And that's what our life has been the past 8.5 years, and God has done just a tremendous work in that. And a huge part of that is because of churches like you all who have really been there, I think, from the beginning. And you have, you faithfully support us financially. You have come down to visit. You have done building projects. You have prayed for us. And so on behalf of my wife and my daughter, thank you guys so much for that. I wanted to start by kind of reading just 9 verses in Numbers, chapter 9, share a couple thoughts, and then just kind of give an update of what's going on for us down in Mexico and kind of how things have changed, because they have changed drastically, as I'm sure they have for all of you. And I would say Mexico is probably... we are lagging behind, as you know. It's a third world country. It's a poor country. And so things like vaccines and trying to going back to school, that's just not there yet. And Mexico has a four-phase color phase, red, orange, yellow, and green. And when it's in green, you know, things open up to normal. And every 2 weeks, then government announces what we're going to be in. So it changes every 2 weeks. On Monday, they make an announcement, and we have been anywhere from red for months and months. We made it to yellow for 2 weeks and then went all the way down to red. So it's a bit exhausting. I think we're in between orange and yellow when I left. Probably going to change when I go back. I don't know. And so we have just really been pressing into the Lord of just, Lord, how do we, you know, how do we navigate through this? How do we get through this? And the Lord used this, has used this passage here in Numbers to really, really encourage me. So if you have your Bible, we're going to be in Numbers chapter 9. We're going to pick up in verse 15. Just read verse 15 through 23, okay? On the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. And at evening, it was over the tabernacle like the appearance of fire until morning. And so it always was. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud lifted up from over the tent, after that the people of Israel set out. And in the place where the cloud settled, there the people of Israel camped. Verse 18, at the command of the Lord, the people of Israel set out. And at the command of the Lord, they camped. As long as the cloud rested over the tabernacle, they remained in the camp. And when the cloud continued over the tabernacle many days, the people of Israel kept the charge of the Lord. They did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was just a few days over the tabernacle. And according to the command of the Lord, they remained in camp. Then according to the command of the Lord, they set out. And sometimes the cloud remained until evening, until morning. And when the cloud lifted in the morning, they set out and continued for a day and a night. Then the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether it was 2 days or a month or a longer time that the cloud continued over the tabernacle, abiding there, the people of Israel remained in camp and did not set out. But when it lifted, they set out. At the command of the Lord, they camped. At the command of the Lord, they set out. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by Moses. Do you guys see sort of a reoccurring theme here? What do we see? What's the phrase we see here? At the command of the Lord. Eight times in these nine verses. At the command of the Lord. A little backstory to this, the Lord was leading the nation of Israel out of captivity into the promised land. And he had given them some directions. He had given them some leaders to lead them. And he had given them the promise that he was going to guide them. And that was in the form of a cloud and a pillar of fire. Exodus 13, 21 and 22 says this, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and night by a pillar of fire to give them light. And they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night did not depart from the people. And so it was to be this simple process. When God moves, the nation moves. When God stops, the nation stops. I love what David Guzik said about this. He said, when the cloud moved, Israel moved. When the cloud stayed, Israel stayed. They only went where the presence of God led them, and they only stayed where the presence of God stayed. And so this was to be a good thing as the nation of Israel. They're coming out of over 400 years of captivity, and they have the hope and the assurance that God is going to lead and guide their step. And Exodus 40, 38 tells us that the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, the fire was over it by night. And then it says, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. So notice here the emphasis where the tabernacle was situated, right? So cloud starts moving, people pack up, and they start going. And then it settles. And they stop, and they set up camp. And the tabernacle was situated, as it says here in Exodus, which was a resemblance of the glory of the Lord, of his presence. It was situated in the sight of all the house of Israel. I think that's really important to us because the focus was not on the journey. The focus was not to be on their leaders, Moses and Aaron. The focus was not to be on their circumstances. The focus was to be on whom? The Lord and his presence. And wherever he went, they were to go. And wherever he stayed, they were to stay. And it sounds beautiful, doesn't it? It sounds easy, doesn't it? All you've got to do is follow the leading of the Lord. How many of you here have said, Lord, I just want to follow your leading? How many of you have prayed, God, would you guide us? God, would you lead us? But there's something really interesting that happens here that the Lord began to speak to me in regards to how this journey went about. Notice that it says, sometimes it was for a day. In other words, you would move, the cloud would stop, the presence of the Lord would rest, and then the people would set up and remain there. And then it also says, sometimes it was for a day and an evening. So maybe it was an overnighter. And then in verse 22, this is really intriguing to me. It says, whether it was 2 days or a month or a longer time that the cloud continued over the tabernacle, abiding there, the people of Israel remained in the camp and they did not set out. So in other words, there was no schedule of how this was going to go. It was just you follow the Lord. How many of you here this morning are schedule people? Raise your hand. Come on. Okay, I'm that way. How many of you are routine people? And when that gets messed up, how many of you get frustrated and discouraged? Okay. If someone was going to say to me, Jason, what's a verse that would sum up 2020 to you? I would share this. Proverbs 16:9. A verse you're probably all familiar with. The heart of man plans his ways, but what? But the Lord directs his steps. I got to tell you, I have taught that verse. I have preached that verse. I have read that verse. I have quoted that verse to so many people. I lived that verse in 2020. 2020, of all the years that we've been down in Mexico, it was to be the biggest year we have ever done. That we have ever had. The schedule was set. Things were just going gangbusters down there. God was doing an incredible work. We had 12 children that were living full-time in the orphanage. I've got some pictures of kind of as we journey along this. This was one of the last pictures that we took before everything shut down. It was actually like 6 days before lockdown happened, and we were celebrating my daughter's birthday. And so you can see there's just a ton of kids that are there. That's Pastor Luis, who pastors the church, and his wife, Kim. And so the orphanage was open, and it was full, and it was vibrant. We had 9 mission teams that were scheduled. You guys were one of them. Teams from all over the United States scheduled to come down. We had started a new building project. The next picture shows as we were planning and prepping and, you know, how can we, as things are growing, we needed sort of a multi-purpose room. And so we partnered with a few churches down in Oregon to help build a 2,000 square foot multi-purpose room. And so we hired extra workers and we began building this next phase. We started preparations to start what we felt the Lord was leading us, a private Christian school. There's nothing like that down there in our area. Let me say this. There are a few options like that, but it's not for indigenous Tarahumara Indians, which we ministered to down there. It's not available to them, and it's insanely expensive. So we began to pray, Lord, would you allow an opportunity for us to start a school that could be for free for those in need? And so we registered with and partnered with a school program that kind of help you set up schools. We did this online training. I think it was 15 classes or something. And so we were believing that the Lord was moving us in that direction. We had started 2 outreach programs. We started an outreach program to the community to teach English. We had a girl that came down from Oregon. She was a missionary with us, serving with us. And so we were offering classes to the community. This was one of the first nights we did. We did them in 2 blocks. They sold out because people really, really, really want to learn English down there. And so the lady pointing to the whiteboard is my aunt and the other girl, Jenna, who's certified in teaching. And so that is our computer lab. And so we were doing English classes 2 nights a week. And we started an outreach to the community to provide jobs through sewing. And so we were able to hire some of the moms of the kids in the orphanage to provide work for them. A lot of the children that we had, they were there not because they were true orphans, but because they had single moms who cannot care for them. And so we, one of the main reasons for that was because of finances and jobs. And so we remodeled the room, we bought sewing machines, and so these two women, we got another picture, they would grab the bus, we would pay their bus fare, they would pack up their kids, those are kids buried in those blankets somewhere, I don't know if you can see faces. Down in Mexico, man, when they pack kids, they pack them like they're going to Antarctica. You can't even see them. They are just buried in a whole bunch of everything. And so we were making bags for our golf tournaments that we were doing. It's one of our biggest fundraisers that we have done over the years. And not only were we going to do our normal one, which is here in Washington State, but we were going to do one in Oregon and one in Florida. And so God had opened the doors for us to do more golf tournaments. I was scheduled to travel quite a bit to speak at new churches. Churches that had heard of what was going on. Churches that had wanted to partner with us. And so I had a number of trips planned. And then, man, almost like the best thing of all, our 15-year wedding anniversary. 8 of those we've spent down in Mexico, and I gotta be honest, I've not, the best I've done down there is a weekend trip to El Paso. Because when you're running an orphanage, it's hard to get away, and so most of our anniversary trips were on the tail end of either picking up a mission team or taking back a mission team, doing all the shopping, trying to go out to a nice dinner, and then you just pass out because you're exhausted. And I felt like it would be shameful for me on our 15-year wedding anniversary to do that to my wife. And so we booked this trip to New York City. And we booked the hotel, and we booked the car, and we booked the flights, and we booked the concert tickets. One of our favorite bands was playing out there, and we booked everything. We had everything arranged. And I was thinking about this actually when I was on the plane. It was this weekend last year when we were flying up here to Seattle. We were going to lead worship at our sending church, have a board meeting. And so we were literally in our car driving to pick up our daughter from school to head up to the airport to fly out. And I remember hearing this thing about COVID. And watching on the news and thinking, okay, what's going on? And I would talk to family member. A lot of our family lives up here. Hey, what's going on? And, you know, you get bombarded with all kinds of different things and people saying, you know, yeah, it's bad. No, it's not bad. Of course, in Mexico, they thought it was a hoax. In fact, the president of Mexico, he's very into Lucky Charms, not the cereal, the actual, like, charms. And so in an interview that he did, he went in front of the people saying, you know what, he held up his Lucky Charms and he says, this is all we need to get us through this, whatever it is. So there wasn't a lot of seriousness, and so we just thought, okay, I guess it's not a big deal. And so we're in the car, everything's ready, the kids are at school, we've met with our staff, we've orchestrated all this stuff because it takes quite a bit when both of us travel. And we're driving to the school about 5 minutes away. And like before every trip, we started praying, you know, Lord, would you bless our trip? Would you be with, you know, be with us in the 5-hour drive and be with the plane ride and be with the kids and the staff and keep us healthy and keep us safe. And as we're pulling up to the school, I just said, Lord, if for some reason you don't want us to go because this thing's getting kind of weird up there, would you let us know? Would you just make it clear? I literally prayed that as we were parking the car to pick up our daughter, bags packed, everything's in the back. God, would you speak to us if you don't want us to go? I get out of the car. I kid you not, my phone rings. I answer it. It's one of the pastors of our church. He said, are you traveling? Where are you at? And I said, oh, we're just picking up Ayantu. We're heading up, and he said, okay, don't necessarily want to tell you you shouldn't come, but you probably shouldn't come. Things are getting really bad here. And I was like, okay. And he said, I don't think we're going to be able to have church services on Sunday. We've canceled our mission trip. They were supposed to go to Croatia and Austria for mission trip. He said, they're just shutting everything down. So I got back in the car and I was like, well, babe, we're not going. That was literally a year ago this weekend. And here we are, a year later, trying to figure out what the past year has meant. And all of those things, listen, we just read that verse, the heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. You better believe we had planned our ways for 2020 and not one of those things happened. Everything was canceled. Everything was changed. Everything was shut down. That same weekend, or the weekend after, Mexico shut down completely as they realized it was a real thing. Schools closed down. We went into lockdown. We went into mandatory, you know, quarantine, stay at home. And we just entered this realm of that every single person in the world was in. And when you're in that, when you go through something like that, it's uncomfortable. When you go through that living in another country, it's even more uncomfortable. When you're away from family, when you're away from friends, when you're away from churches, when you're away from some of these things, it is difficult. And trust me, being down in Mexico for 8.5 years, we have seen plenty of trials and difficulties. Just living down in Bashiniva, you know, there's been times we've been without electricity for days and days, without water for days. Our septic systems have literally blown up and come out of the ground because of the rainy season. We've been through floods. We have been through blown transformers and vehicles breaking down. And then, of course, there's been the cartel and the drug side of things. But nothing, nothing like with what we went through. And one of the things that was the most challenging, and I think this is why the Lord spoke this to me, is there was no clear end in sight. And here we are here we are a year later, and Mexico still says every 2 weeks where you're going to be at. So to try to plan things, to try to predict things, it's a little exhausting. And I feel like what the Lord has been saying is, Jason, during this time, I don't want the focus for you to be on the circumstances and what is going on and the news and the election and all of this stuff. I want you just focused on me and my presence, because that is the one thing that has not changed. And that was the thing that he was reassuring, that was the thing that they were driving in to the nation of Israel here. Listen to the word of the Lord and go where he goes and stay where he stays. And that was it. And where the tabernacle was set up and where the focus was supposed to be, it was all about the presence of the Lord. But let's be honest. Can you imagine? Okay, let me put it out this way. How many of you like camping, right? You go for a weekend camping trip. I used to love camping growing up as kids. There's two aspects I wasn't a very big fan of. One was when you got there, you were assigned a duty. There was five of us growing up, so it took a big ordeal. And we had one of those tents that, you know, was for 8,500 people and took forever to set up. So if you got tent duty, see you later. I mean, that was not fun. You wanted firewood duty, because firewood duty meant you got to get a knife and go out and a hatchet or whatnot and explore and create havoc. Tent duty, you're just arguing with your siblings trying to figure out what pole goes in what thing. But once camp was set up, sitting by the fire, roasting marshmallows, cooking, drink coffee, campfire coffee, it's so gross, but it's so good at the same time. And then the second part that I disliked the most, when it was time to go home. And when you get on tent duty again, but this time your job is to take all those poles apart and try to figure out how to put it back into the bag that it was in, and it never fits back into that bag. And then you go home. Listen, this was not an overnight camping trip of a family of seven. Exodus tells us in chapter 12, verse 37, there were about 600,000 men on foot besides women and children. So this is a big ordeal. Now imagine for a moment the excitement, and everything is packed and you are going and you're moving, and all of a sudden the cloud, after a few days, the cloud settles. So you set up camp. And keep in mind, probably early on, the nation of Israel was super excited about this, right? Because they're out of captivity and they're going to the promised land. But I think it's really, really important why we see here in verse 22 that it wasn't just a few days. Sometimes it was 2 days. Sometimes it was for a night and a day. Sometimes it was a month, or sometimes a longer time. How many of you think that that would get old after a little bit? Especially if it was one of those times where it was just for a night. All of this people, you get there, you set up camp, everything's going, you sent the kids out to get firewood, you're sitting down to a cup of coffee or tea or whatever it was they drank by then, and then all of a sudden you're catching up with your wife, you're tired, you're exhausted, it's been a long day, and then your wife says, "Did that cloud just move?" No, I think it was the other clouds moving around. Okay, good. And then you go about this, and then people are coming out of the tents. Is that cloud moving? And then it starts moving. And you pack everything up, then you go. Not knowing when it was going to rest again. Not knowing how long you would have to wait again. So this is kind of a lose-lose situation in regards to how we view things. For some, it would be, why is this taking so long? We've been here for a month. How many of you would feel that way? When are we going to get moving? Let's get this thing going. It's been a month. Cloud, I think that cloud moved. The wife says, no, I'm pretty sure it moved. Let's pack up. No, it's not moving. It's right there. No one else is moving. Or how many of you, when it moved after one night, you would be like, that's too soon. Are you kidding me? So either way, you see where I'm going with this? Either way, it can be like, oh my gosh, this is taking forever. Or, oh my word, we literally just set things up and now this. And I think for me, this was why the importance was on the command of the Lord, him speaking, and then the presence of the Lord. Because it was to be a reminder to the nation of Israel that no matter what, he was there. He was in control. And we had to really, really, and still are trying to practice this. Lord, what do you want for us? And trust me, when all this stuff happened, we had to shut down the orphanage, and we began to, we got calls from moms of the kids saying, hey, listen, I would like my daughter to be with me during this quarantine time. And so the Lord worked it out where we were able to reconnect some of these kids with their moms, which we thought was only going to be 2 or 3 weeks. Which is what everybody was saying. A couple of the kids, their moms, you know, who have a mom and a dad, their moms, you know, they lost jobs. And so circumstances change where they were able to, for again, what we thought a period of time would be to care for the kids again. And so we prayed on it and talked with the board, and we felt like this is the best thing to do for health and safety and whatnot. And so we began to reconnect these kids with their moms, and we have two girls that are not able to do that. They're kind of more true orphans, and so they moved into our house with my wife and I again, thinking, you know, 2-3 weeks, a month tops. Then we just said, okay, what's next, Lord? Mexico started they call it learn at home, because people don't have internet, But 98% of Mexico, I think, 95% have TV. So they broadcast schooling over TV. So they partnered with four of the major news networks. And so for 24/7, they would run programs for the kids to learn. And so our daughter's in fifth grade. The other girl living with us is in sixth grade. And so we got it. I never thought I'd have to get a TV subscription for school. That's a bit strange. We never had TV down there before, but here I was hiring and paying to get these dishes put up, these big satellite dishes, so that we could have TV so that our kids could learn. And so we just began to sort of navigate and adapt and to try to figure out, you know, what was taking place. And I began to talking with pastors and missions teams that were coming down, and talked with Samuel, and we some churches just canceled right away. Others, you know, let's push it back. And so we tried to push the golf tournament back. We tried to push our anniversary trip back. We tried to push every mission trip. And then you just run out of months. You can't push anything back in that year. And then everything just, we started canceling everything. So listen, when you're down there and you kind of come, you're in that place, of course you're naturally going to think, maybe it's time to go home. And we had talked to a lot of missionary friends who had done that. Some, they were sent home. Some, they were called home because of the countries where they were serving. The border closed, which technically it's still closed. I don't know what that means exactly. But it has been closed for a year now to non-essential travel. So there was fear and worry that we wouldn't even be able to, we would miss a window to even get back into this day. So all these things are taking place, and all this is racing through our mind as you're trying to, okay, well, that has not gone the way we thought it was going to go. But the one thing that didn't happen was the Lord never said, it's time to pack up and go. We were wanting, I think maybe selfishly, we were wanting to see that cloud move a little bit to lead us back. And it didn't. And it hasn't. And what the Lord has been saying to us is, I have not called you to come back yet. I've called you to stay down there. So naturally, in that, and wanting to be obedient with God, we began to say, okay, Lord, how do we do that in the midst of this new norm or whatever people are calling it? How do we do that? How do you serve in an orphanage that doesn't really look like an orphanage anymore? And what are donors going to say? And what are people going to say? And then I start going through this, and maybe people aren't going to donate money anymore, and maybe this and maybe that. And you start going through. And the Lord just kept reminding me of his presence, of saying, you're to be focused on me. You're not to be focused on these other things. And so we began to pray, and we just began to believe, okay, Lord, until you call us back or until all of our funding dries up, we're going to stay here as long as we can. And we want to help. And so, Lord, how can we do that? And so the Lord, he allowed us to do a couple things. I got to show you some pictures as we close. One of the things that we found in light of COVID and this closing down and reconnecting kids with their families, we realized how badly these moms wanted to be with their kids. But because of jobs, because of finances, because of housing, because of arrangement, because of lack of knowing how to read or write, they can't do it. And so we thought, what if we start a program to, rather than just take their kids back into the orphanage, that's not necessarily the solution. What if we start working with these moms to help them? And we did that, and it has been so incredible. This is a family, Anastasia. She works in a cheese factory, works insane hours for probably $10, $12 a day. And so we got them a place in town. We moved them. We have helped paid rent. We have been able to purchase appliances. We have been able to do tutoring. And we were able to help her do Christmas for her kids. The next, we got a family. This is Edgar. Same thing. During the pandemic, it was so sad. He actually had a mom and a dad, but during the pandemic, the dad decided to run off with some younger women. And that's like the worst time to do that. And so she was trying to figure out, how do I work this full-time job? How do I care for my son? How do I deal with the emotional side of this? And so we have partnered with them. And just last Sunday after church, we moved them into a new place. And then I took them grocery shopping. She said, you know, I missed the bus to go to the grocery store. Could you maybe give us a ride? I said, absolutely. And I noticed she was just putting like three things in her cart because that's all she had money for. And I said, you know what? Groceries are on me. You want steaks, you get whatever. It was like $40, but man, they had that cart full of food. It was so awesome. Next picture. So that's Natalia. Natalia is one of the girls that lives with us. This is her mom. Her mom is blind in one eye and can probably see about 20% in the other eye. She doesn't know how to read. She doesn't know how to write. And she cannot safely care for her daughter. And she doesn't really want to. But we have been going up to where she lives. Here's another picture. I think it should be of the house. Yeah, that's my daughter. That's the school pictures. Let's do the next one. That's Natalia. So this is them learning on their Chromebooks, watching TV channels, and then doing their schoolwork. The next picture, this is Carolina. She is a junior in high school. I think, is the next one the house? Yes, let's start with that. Then we'll go back to the other one. So this is where Natalia's mom lives, in the Adobe rundown, no bathroom, no water shack. Next picture. And so we have been going up there. She doesn't even have a front door. She has just a blanket. Next picture. So we've been going up. We did we put some sheetrock and insulation to help with the heat in the air. And we redid some electrical. So that's one of our workers. I think the next picture shows it being done. So wanting to continue to partner with these moms and these kids to help them. Kim, my aunt, she has been discipling some of these women. And so when people say, so are the kids just going to come back to the orphanage? I'm hoping that they don't. I'm hoping that we can create a program where these moms can stay with their kids. And then we have been reaching out to the community. Can you put that one of with the two older ladies in that little house? I was going to the store and I saw this lady on the right and this lady on the left and her husband. They had walked 3 miles to the grocery store. And they're all very old. And I asked them, I saw them coming out of the store as we were coming out, and they had bags and bags of groceries. And I said, excuse me, are you guys, do you need help? And they said, could we get a ride? And I said, yeah, where do you guys live? And they told me, and I was like, you guys walked here? And they said, yeah. And I said, and you were going to walk all the way back with these groceries? And the dad said, yeah, it was going to take us until May, but we were going to get back there at some point. So we gave them a ride, and then like everyone in Mexico, they invited us into their house. And I just thought, Lord, are these the new things that you're doing in light of this time of maybe confusion and waiting? Lord, are you wanting to give me sort of a new set of lenses to kind of take a step back and say, no, my plans did not go the way that they did. But the Lord is directing new plans. And I went back and I shared this with my wife and I shared it with my daughter and Natalia. And they said, do you think we can make them Christmas cookies and cards and bring that to them? And so we did. And so we went and we visited them. And we brought cookies and paintings and cards. And then one more picture, I think, is the girls with their computers. We, again, just, Lord, we want to help people, but we can't in the way that we have before. So what's a new way we can do it? Catalina will be the first girl in her family to graduate high school. And she'd asked me, she said, do you think one of my friends can come and do homework here? There's bad phone signal. She doesn't have internet. It's really, really hard for her to do schooling. And I said, absolutely. So I talked with her mom and, you know, shared with her what was going on. Are you okay with this? And she said, yeah. So the girl on the right, her name is Kenya. And she showed up and she pulled out this computer that looked like it was from 1970 and it was falling apart and the battery doesn't work. And she said, do you think you could try to help me with this? And so we have been getting her 3 days a week. And then she told another friend who is going through the same thing where they're having to do all the schoolwork, but it's all via this app called WhatsApp. And it's all via cell phone. And so you're using your data, and down there's no unlimited data plans or anything. So the cost is incredibly high. And so I said, of course you guys can come. So the Lord is now opening up an opportunity for us to reach out to these young girls and help with their schooling. And so I like closing with that because I don't want this to be like a doom and gloom message, because, you know, sometimes when we look at 2020, we can view it as sort of doom and gloom and you know, there's no hope. But there is a hope. Amen. There's a living hope, and it's the Lord, and he's alive and he's active. And yes, things have changed. And yes, things probably won't go back to the way we think that they're going to go back. But that does not change the work that he is doing. That does not change who he is. That does not change the presence of God being with us. The only thing it changes is when that cloud or pillar of fire moves. And it might be sooner than later, or it might be longer. But the hope we have this morning, and what I want to leave you guys with, is this. God is still God. And he is still working. And he is greater than this. Thank God we're seeing progress and we're getting through this. And so I would ask that you would please continue to pray for us as we are just continuing to move in this direction of assisting these families, these moms, caring for these two girls in our home, and then being a light to the community. And I'm praying, I don't know if 2020 is going to work for teams to come down again, but I'm praying for 2022 or 2023, however the Lord has us down there in whatever he wants. That's what I want. Not my plans, but yours, Lord. Not me directing my steps, but you, because you know best. Even in light of something as crazy that we've gone through. And I think that's when we start seeing aspects of God even more so, even greater. Amen? The worship team's going to come up. Let me pray for us. Father, we just thank you for today. Lord, thank you so much for the just the work that you're doing. God, thank you for the work that you're doing in our life down in Mexico. Lord, thank you for the work that you're doing here at the church, God. And Lord, we just trust and believe that your presence will continue to lead us. And help us, Lord, when it looks like, when it's been months and months and months, help us to know that you're still there, Lord. Help us when things change quickly. Lord, whatever it might be, may our focus be on you. May our focus be on your presence. Thank you so much for this church, for their prayers, for their financial support, for their visits over the year, Lord. And I pray selfishly that things would clear up in a way that they could come down, Lord, and we can just continue to be a part and see the work that you're doing, both down in Mexico and here, in Washington and through this church, Lord. So we love you. Speak to our hearts through this closing song. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.